Greetings. My name is Alice Janssen, and it's a pleasure for me to welcome you to the session one, the strategic panel on ICANN's role in the Internet Governance Ecosystem webinar. Before we begin, I'd like to briefly remind all participants of housekeeping items. This webinar is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. This session is being streamed through the Adobe Connect room. If you intend to voice comments or questions, please join the Adobe Bridge. Your lines are currently muted and will be muted throughout the presentation. You may submit questions or comments via the Adobe Connect chat pod during the presentation. At the end of the presentation, you will be given the opportunity to voice your comments and questions during the Q&A. All lines will be unmuted for the Q&A. If you are on the bridge, please remember to mute your computer speakers once the floor is open to avoid echo. If you wish to speak during the Q&A, please raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room to be added to the queue. Should you not be speaking, please mute your line using star 6. Dial star 7 to unmute. The slides, recording, and transcript will be made available following this session. You may find the housekeeping indications in the Adobe Connect notes pod. With that, we'll turn to Vincer, strategy panel chair.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, everyone. My name is Vince Cerf, and it's my pleasure to join you today in a discussion of where we are in the ICANN ecosystem panel. This is one of several panels created by Fadi Chahadi, the CEO of ICANN, to help evaluate ICANN's role in Internet governance, and our task is to speak to the ecosystem in which ICANN sits. May I have the next slide, please? Here you see the charge that was given to the panel. I don't propose to read through all of the text. I'm sure that you can see this as well as I can. I want you to understand the scope of the panel's charge. It's actually fairly substantial in the sense that we're looking for insights into how ICANN fits into this complex ecosystem, in particular with regard to its responsibilities and stewardship role for the unique parameters associated with the Internet's operation. We're also looking for guiding principles that should inform our evolution into the evolving ecosystem, and in particular the continued use of the multi-stakeholder model. We hope that that these ideas will inform as well our interactions with other bodies at national and international level. In the end, the committee hopes to provide a roadmap identifying milestones that might be sought or achieved along the way towards this improved Internet governance ecosystem. If we could go to the next slide, please. Here you see some of the assumptions that were made, or can be made, about ICANN's history. As all of you will know, John Postel really served as the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority and the RFC editor for many, many years until his death in 1998, which sadly but coincidentally occurred just as ICANN was being created in response to an invitation and ultimate delegation of responsibility from the Department of Commerce to ICANN to perform these functions. We assumed at the beginning that a multi-stakeholder structure was preferred, and we organized ICANN around that notion. We also assumed that we should be taking a heuristic approach to Internet governance issues as we explored their nature and adapted to them. And I'm sure many of you have seen the evolution of ICANN's structures as we tried to learn more about how Internet governance and our role in it would evolve. Our intent was to build legitimacy by simply doing our job well. However, when it comes to specific things like voting, representation also seemed to be important. And so you could see the supporting organization structure reflecting that. But participation is key to a successful multi-stakeholder operation. We also believe that non-internet issues, for example, what's a country, should not be addressed by ICANN, but rather by in other venues or through other venues that had the authority to make those judgments. We also assume that it was important not to break any laws in the course of trying to operate ICANN. We also believe that ICANN should not have to deal with content issues, although I think that semantics has become a potential hazard for us in the domain name space. There is a strong belief in the community that ICANN should stay focused on its mission and not grow that mission. And finally, it is assumed that cooperation among the entities that make up the ecosystem is important even in the presence of competition. Now I'd like to go to the next slide, please. Here we have just a few observations which will remind you that the Internet has been around for 40 years in design and 30 years in operation. It had began as a very cooperative effort among many organizations, and it continues to exhibit this cooperative spirit. A number of U.S. government R&D agencies were involved initially, and I think many of you know that other R&D agencies around the world became involved, certainly, especially in the 1980s. So this has been, in many respects, an academic and government evolution with the private sector becoming a very significant part as the Internet continued to grow. The commercial equipment providers showed up in the 1980s, and commercial service came in the late 1980s here in the United States, and I think also in other parts of the world, and certainly becoming far more prominent in the 1990s as the World Wide Web unfolded. I think it's fair to say that stewardship has been the key to Internet success, and this sense of responsibility for stewardship has colored, I think, in a positive way, the role that ICANN has played and the role which it will have to play in the future. And finally, ICANN was created. The creation was motivated by an interest by the U.S. government to move policy development in this space into the private sector. Next slide, please. We debated governance and its definition for a while and concluded that the sensible thing to do was to accept the World Summit on the Information Society definition, at least at the start. And so, as you see, it is the development and application by governments, the private sector, and civil society in their respective roles of shared principles, norms, rules, decision-making procedures, and programs that shape the evolution and use of the Internet. Whether this definition of governance will serve us well in the future is still to be determined, but this is where we start, at least in the discussions that this panel is undertaking. If I could have the next slide, please. Here, I think it's very important for you to recall and appreciate how diverse the ecosystem in which the Internet operates and in which governance needs to be undertaken really is. The actors in this space are extremely diverse in their size, their nature, their interests, and their function. Some are in the private sector, some are academics, some are technical, or part of the technical community, some are government, some are civil society. So these institutions and organizations are extremely diverse. We've also, and you'll see later, been able to evaluate or at least assess some of these interests by looking at the layered functionality of the Internet itself as a way of organizing the way in which various actors operate and the way in which their interests are expressed. And finally, I think it's important to recognize that in this ecosystem there is a web of relationships among the actors. There are different kinds of ways in which those relationships are expressed. Some involve coordination, some collaboration, some subordination. Some involve tension and friction, and all of these characteristics are exhibited in this complex ecosystem that we are trying to understand. Could we have the next slide, please? Here, you see from the ICANN point of view, and I want to emphasize that this is a chart which was produced to look at things from the ICANN point of view. It does not necessarily express all of the possible relationships among all the various parties that are in this ecosystem. But from the ICANN point of view, if you look in the lower right-hand side, you see a strong sense of stewardship and responsibility for the unique identifiers in the Internet space. And that stewardship relationship expresses a lot of what goes on inside of ICANN. But then you find that ICANN is involved in coordination among a set of players that are very close to this unique identifier space. Those you see in the coordination bubble over on the left-hand side, the root server operators, the Internet Society, the Internet Engineering Task Force, and so on. And so there is a good deal of coordination that ICANN has to undertake in order to carry out its role. And then finally, you see in the upper right-hand side a number of other entities that are even larger in scope, the World Intellectual Property Organization, the Internet Governance Forum, national governments, UNESCO, and so on, ITU, are all part of a larger space in which ICANN participates. And so this chart is intended to remind us of the various kinds of relationships that ICANN needs to cater to in order to carry out its work and, of course, in order to evolve its responsibilities as the Internet continues to grow and change. The next slide, please. This is another example, and I don't want you to imagine that this is complete. It's simply to remind you that there are many different ways of looking at the actors in the Internet space, and that you could see them from the standpoint of what sector they belong in, whether it's public or industry or social or popular or technical, or maybe you could look at it from the incentive point of view, what drives a particular actor, what is the motivation, stewardship being a vital part of ICANN's operation, but financial incentives or research or legal or political incentives can also inform the behavior of a particular actor in this space. And then there, of course, is an institutional view. Are you an academic institution, a business institution, a governmental one? And I want to remind you that some actors in the space actually span more than one part of these different perspectives. And so it's not a smart move to try to assign a pigeonhole for every actor in the Internet ecosystem space. I want to hand over now to Debbie Monahan, who has some things to say about stewardship in particular. So, Debbie, I hand over to you now.
Right. Thanks, Vince. Well, three of the members of our team are based in what many consider to be the Asia-Pacific region, and so we thought that it would be appropriate to start our slide with a haiku inspired by the Japanese haiku. As also Hiroki Sato once said, that may be possible to describe haiku, but not define it. In many ways, this is the challenge of describing internet governance. We can describe it, but it may never be fully defined. The beauty of a haiku, and of the internet, is that the reader may enter the poem in their own way. The word haiku starts with a first verse called a hoku, and often looks incomplete. And to some, a haiku is never finished. They can be translated in hundreds of different ways. Haikus also seem to be out of order for some and leave opportunities for interpretation. The utility, popularity and diversity of the internet ensure that it continues to innovate, increasing the complexity of the whole internet ecosystem. As such, it is evolving so that the internet is over everything and is for everyone as everything is over the internet. Although we don't mean to take this analogy too far, we believe that this is an appropriate way to start our thinking of the internet stewardship. The internet emerged after a long-term series of experiments and developments in collaboration with government, academia, and the private sector. The internet is now a global digital communication and information platform that continues to evolve, grow, and extend in scope. What the internet means to us today will be different in another decade, and it will also mean different things to different people around the globe. Next slide, please. Right. Okay. Get myself organized. As the internet grows and more diverse participants get involved, their needs differ And as things develop, those needs may change. History has shown us that many groups associated with the internet today resulted from initiatives driven by a range of different stakeholders. These include the technical and academic communities and also government. Flexibility and the multi-stakeholder approach have been key aspects in the development of the internet as the range of stakeholders involved continues to increase. Mapping the various actors involved and how they interact at different levels is an increasingly complex task. What could emerge from this initiative is a web of documented actors and relationships, confirming commitments and responsibilities among the many parties with specific roles in internet operation, maintenance, governance and evolution. Next slide, please. Among the many actors in the internet ecosystem, some pursue academic and research interests, some focus on economic goals, some have political and societal objectives, some primarily care about the needs of individual users or their protection. Given the increasingly pervasive nature of the internet, all actors have a common interest in the well-functioning of the overall infrastructure and a common concern that it is not abused. Still, none of these actors on their own have the capacity to address these issues, let alone create and maintain a safe environment for all. Furthermore, there's an inescapable trans-border interdependence amongst actors. The action of one has potential impact on the others, including across borders. They have, therefore, a shared responsibility to organise the governance of this common infrastructure and maintain a safe environment for all. The panel spent time looking for language that would illustrate the way in which responsibility for the internet's operation, evolution and governance was shared among the many actors in the internet ecosystem. These motivations brought to mind terms such as stewardship and of shared responsibility. An interesting, albeit elaborate, metaphor can be found in the notion of entanglement in quantum theory. In this theory, the state of two or more entangled particles is not simply the union of their states. Rather, the group has only a single state that is shared by all participants. The notion translates into a kind of entangled responsibility for the well-being of the internet and its users. There is an inescapable trans-border interdependence among the actors in the internet ecosystem, and this applies to governance as well. All actors with roles to play in internet governance do so with entangled responsibilities. That means that there is no one actor with total control over the ecosystem or governance. ICANN is one of those actors. When we refer to enhancing ICANN stewardship in an evolving ecosystem, we are not referring to ICANN enhancing their control, and so it is important that the use of the word stewardship is understood. From the panel's view, stewardship means caring more for the good management, use and evolution of a shared resource, rather than for each individual state in it. It can be likened to a guardianship role protecting the domain namespace, while recognising and providing for the range of stakeholders involved. Stewardship involves providing principles and purpose for how we manage, develop and protect the space, and ensure we prevent harms or activities that may result in imbalances that persist. Next slide, please. Scholars have, for some time, been comfortable describing the internet's technical architecture through a layered model that segregates and explains the different operations. Although there are different ways to look at these layers, at the bottom of the layered model, there is almost always the infrastructure layer, the highway that enables the traffic, and that layer is closely accompanied by a logical layer for the standards and protocols for the transfer of data packets, including the TCP/IP suite of protocols and the management of the domain name system. At or near the top of the layered model, most scholars agree that there's a content layer where technical operations matter less for other policies like intellectual property rights and free expression are most directly implicated. As questions of trust, identity and human rights gain the spotlight in internet policy, we support the view of an additional social layer. It provides an additional lens to identify and stratify the relevant institutions that have a mandate to deal with the ongoing steering of practices and continuous assessment and handling of emergent policy issues. So This new layer would deal with practices that define paramount rights and principles associated with social conduct online. The slide that you can see now conceptualizes this in order to trigger discussion about what institutions and stakeholder groups could legitimately be involved in which internet policy issues. It is an overview of these layers together with a rough and incomplete approximation of the governance institutions that do their work within them. Under the current multi-stakeholder internet governance ecosystem, no single institution, stakeholder or influencer plays a dominant role in governance, but instead participates on equal footing as representatives of their respective constituents, either through local policy making and regulatory fora, or through participation in government-focused bodies like the ICU. Governance structures for the internet have emerged progressively and largely out of necessity on an issue-by-issue basis. As such, the internet has seen a constant set of challenges arise, and institutions have arisen, both formal and informal, to address these challenges, including the creation of ICANN in 1998, to give a dedicated home to the function of coordinating the system of unique identifiers of the internet after the internet itself was open for commercial activity. If you had to select one word to characterise the internet governance ecosystem, it would have to be diversity. The system is populated by individuals, small or large, formal and informal groupings, organisations and institutions drawn from the private sector, academia, civil society and government, as well as intergovernmental and non-governmental organisations across the globe. This array of actors and institutions is motivated by a diversity of interests, not all of which may be aligned, but all of them find some connection to the internet. Any kind of sustainable internet governance regime is going to have to take into account the diversity of the entities in the ecosystem and the interests that motivate their actions. It seems fair to observe that the actors in this ecosystem may have overlapping interests and authorities. There may be tension or friction among the actors resulting from real or perceived overlaps, and part of the objective of an internet governance regime should be to identify and reduce these effects or create mechanisms to resolve them in a constructive fashion. Next slide, please. Where does all this take us? Applying the layered model to the internet ecosystem was found useful. It demonstrates the complexity of the relationships and parties involved, together with mapping that allows for discussion about the best nature of responsibilities and helps to identify where there are gaps, if any. What may benefit from being formalised, and how does it all fit with the globalisation of ICANN? It may also be that applying a flexible layered approach to policy development may help to recognise the changing environment and that a one-size-fits-all approach is not necessarily in the best interest of an expanding GTLD environment. It may also allow for potential impacts on different parties to be acknowledged and accommodated, perhaps also avoid unpleasant, unintended consequences. In respect of stewardship, again, a layered approach to internet governance may be applicable. Stewardship recognises the range of actors involved and works to entrust the best and most appropriate entity to work with others to develop shared sets of rules. There is no single fixed definition for stewardship, although we think there are some guiding principles for the concept. As shown on the slide, it's about caring more for the good management, use and evolution of a shared resource than for each individual stake in it. Stewardship's like a guardianship role, protecting the domain name space, recognising and providing for the range of stakeholders involved. It includes providing principles and purpose for how we manage, develop and protect the space and ensures we prevent harms or activities that may result in imbalances that persist. An essential guide for all actors and actions involved in internet governance. I think I'll hand off back to you, Vince. It's Alejandro.
Thank you. Well, hang on just a second. Thank you all very much. I wanted to make one observation. It's Vince here speaking again. First of all, I'm enjoying the chat coming from many of the participants. I hope that we are capturing all that because your immediate reactions are actually quite helpful. Some of these slides are quite notional in their character, so I hope you'll allow us some latitude there. I'd like to turn the microphone now over to Alejandro Pisanti, who has two slides on principles, which are going to be quite important because they will inform some of the other high-level panels that will be meeting after us as to principles that will help guide our evolution of Internet governance. So, Alejandro, over to you now.
Thank you, Vince. Can you hear me well?
Yes. The people who are really listening to you can't tell you that, so they won't be able to because they're muted until we get to the discussion period. So please proceed.
Yeah, I'm just checking the sound. I have positive feedback now for sound from the Adobe Connect chat. Hi, everybody. Good morning, afternoon, evening, good night, wherever you are. The panel worked for a while because it's one of our charges on looking at guidelines or principles that should orient ICANN's evolution and interactions in the internal governance ecosystem. These principles arose after a very extensive inspection of sets of principles for internet governance and subfields of it that have been proposed. Some of them are really mathematically incompatible because they are really concerned with a number of different issues and different points of view. So we took principles that have been proven to be useful among ICANN's core principles, which are in the bylaws, principles coming from places like CCTLD managers and many others, and put forward the following in the documents that we will publish with a report. This will be in a bit more detail, of course. One of the things that you'll notice there, but I want to remark right now, is that these principles are expressed in more detail twice each. Once for the what we perceive to be with 40 edges, but what we perceive to be the internet governance ecosystem, and the second one in a more specific wording for ICANN itself. So briefly, these principles, we have a longer list, but group it into this very hope-compelling set and something that should be open for discussion, which we want to provoke. The first one is stewardship, making sure that ICANN is guided by a principle of stewardship, a principle of caring for the definitions are again, needed in more detail, but for the common good of the Internet. That's not its stewardship function, but it shouldn't interfere with the global common good of the Internet. And certainly ICANN should be oriented in all its actions by a principle of stewardship. The resources which are under its charge, the central coordination of the DNS, the central coordination of the IP address allocation system, and the parameter tables. And together with this stewardship, we would like to propose the primacy of cooperation as a principle. This would mean that ICANN internally looks for the maximal cooperation amongst the different supporting organizations, advisory councils, and members of these and all other participants, and also that it approaches the internet governance ecosystem, the many other organizations and mechanisms that are out there, looking principally for cooperation. This is not against competition in the sense, for example, that where market mechanisms are supposed to be installed, they should see the broadest and fairest competition fighting against collusion and all forms of anti-competitive behavior. But among the organizations and mechanisms, cooperation should be first. Second principle comes from the view of technical rationality. We have had ample time over the years to see that there are many proposals for internet governance that are not necessarily based on technical rationality, or that would actually even go against the technical rationality of the internet. ICANN has existed for half the time that the internet has been open to the public for the last, that means 15 out of the last 30 years. So there has been a lot of opportunity to observe the importance of preserving and enhancing the stability, security, and resilience of the Internet and of the domain name system and IP address allocation systems in particular, and to make sure that decisions always keep into account the enormous options that are provided by the technology, but also not go against some very fundamental limitations of it. Transparency and accountability are very important for all. We're adopting these principles, both for ICANN and proposing that ICANN promote transparency and accountability in other mechanisms when the opportunity comes. To go along document procedures for decisions, those that are documented, and that includes a lot in ICANN, because even the changes in the bylaws, for example, have a documented procedure. Another important principle is inclusion, reaching out to as many and as diverse communities and participants as possible, principle of fairness in all actions, and one of reciprocity. ICANN has fought very hard and worked very hard, for example, to instill principles of cooperation, to multi-stakeholder governance as flat as possible, and there should be reciprocity in the organizations that cooperate with ICANN in this field, and in general in the field. Next, for the design and evolution of internet governance mechanisms, one very first principle for us is that form should follow function. Things should be done only when needed. If you need a mechanism to introduce governance in an emerging application of technology, wait till it's actually proven to be necessary and outside the bounds of other existing ones, and then have the form of that mechanism follow the function. Instead of creating structures with very broad missions, which will be then trying to deform, to shape issues to fit into their pigeonholes instead of actually trying to solve problems. As Vint mentioned initially, what has been very successful in internet governance has been a heuristic, that is, a problem-solving approach. Following this form follow function, we have two more principles which we feel will be important to observe. One of them, which has been very successful, is a principle of subsidiarity. Solving the problems in general as close to the edge and as close to where the problem actually exists, instead again of trying to adapt or adopt very general approaches which will actually not be able to even identify the details that make the problem and make it possible to solve it. And loose copy, which is again a principle that has served well. It has been part of the history of internet governance, if you consider the IETF and its organizations like the Internet Advisory Board, and things like the Anti-Phishing Working Group and many other mechanisms for internet governance that are in operation or have been in operation. Loose coupling means awareness of what each other is doing, surprise avoidance by timely warnings, and a general cooperative approach. Not letting gaps to exist when possible, but not a clockwork coordination, and thus allowing for the shaping and evolution of the organizations and the emergence of new stuff as it's needed. So that will be that for the presentation of principles.
There is another slide, Alejandro, which also addresses principles, which I would invite you to also take that one.
I'm sorry, I cut short. I'm going on to that one now. We regroup these principles again in another view, which is relationships, which are already mentioned, reciprocity principle, express more extensively, do no harm and don't spread harm. Respect principle among organizations and participants, and the respect for freedom of choice and for diversity. A principle of robustness, which can be expressed in several ways, including being conservative in what is sent and liberal in what is accepted. A reasonableness principle, which means decisions should be reasonable, should be based on reason, well explained, and the right to recourse to avoid decisions that are perceived as capricious. And a reality principle, in which ideals, models, and theories are measured and tested against practice, and as is done, for example, by ICANN's already existing review mechanisms. The consequences from these tests are actually taken into the decisions. Sorry for the for having skipped us too early.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, Alex. Let me now go on to the next slide, please. And this is a relatively empty slide, and the reason is that those of you who are participating in today's call and on the call on Wednesday are going to help us identify milestones that might be appropriate for the evolution of ICANN's involvement in the Internet governance ecosystem. And so we await your discussion at the end of this call, coming up very shortly. The panel is then charged with identifying reasonable milestones that we should recommend. I would also point out that these may not be easily ordered in time, and some of them may simply be independent of each other, and they're simply milestones identifying ICANN's evolved relationships with other parties who are in this system. If I could have the next slide, I'd like to illustrate some of the kinds of questions that we are looking to answer, or we're looking for help to answer. And again, I don't suggest that I read these completely in the interest of time, but you can see from the first element, or the first question is trying to understand how we reduce tension and friction, which has arisen in the past in the in subject of Internet governance, or in the context of Internet governance. Ideally, we would like to resolve tensions and reduce friction wherever possible. I also want to emphasize again something Alex said, which is that the ideal outcome is a relatively loose coupling, not a clockwork environment, because we have to be adaptable and resilient to change. Another issue with regard to ICANN is how we think about globalization. How do we make ICANN responsible to stakeholders around the world with varying interests and varying conditions beyond where it currently has reached? Another thing which is important is the nature of ICANN's relationships with other organizations, and whether there are milestones for change in those relationships that would be that would improve the Internet governance system, at least the part that ICANN has responsibility for. Are there things that we should be doing differently? And finally, if you have general comments about topics that we've failed to address so far, or that you think should be a priority, we're eager to hear that as well. If I could have the next slide, please. We're preparing now to turn the microphones on. There are some logistics associated with that, but I want to emphasize before you begin your spoken responses and comments that we would benefit enormously from getting text from you. This is partly for purposes of clarity. We have two options for you. One is to send email to the IOE panel at ICANN.org, or if you wish, you can participate in a survey which incorporates the five questions that I listed in the previous slide for you to respond to. And of course, one of those is a very general question. Again, the utility of having text responses is significant, and we invite you to participate in that way. Alice, are there specific things now that you need to tell the participants before we begin the oral part of our section?
Yes, thank you, Vint. We will now open the floor and ask for the lines to be unmuted. We will refer to the hands raised in the Adobe Connect room to create a queue. If you're not speaking, we ask that you please mute your line to avoid echo. You may do so by pressing star 6. To unmute, press star 7. If you are in the queue, please make sure that the computer speakers are muted before speaking to avoid echo. Thank you for your cooperation. Operator, please unmute the lines.
Listen-only mode is now off.
Okay, Vint, we now may proceed.
So I see Mikey O'Connor. Alice, do you want to manage this process? Mikey, you're on.
Sure. I'm happy to do so.
Thanks, Vint. This is Mikey. I figured I'd break the ice. I love this. I think it's really, really good work. I agree with a lot of the comments in the chat that the pictures are terrific, and I'll send you some. The thing that I'm really interested in, and I'm not sure that this is entirely governance, but I'll throw it out here as I've been throwing it everywhere, is that at the bottom of the multi-stakeholder process, it's a very small group of people that do a lot of the heavy lifting. And to the extent that we can broaden that group of people, I think it will improve a lot of the dimensions that we're talking about here. And the thought that came to me today as I was watching this is that the needs that we have in ICANN to broaden our base are very similar to the needs that all of the participants in the ecosystem have, and that maybe we could do some sort of cross community effort where it's across the participants in the ecosystem rather than just within ICANN. And I'll send you a little email about this, but I'll also paste a blog post into the chat for folks that want to look at that. Thanks, all. It was a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Mikey. Let me remind you and all the other listeners that there is another panel on essentially participation in the governance process that Beth Norvik is leading. And so we will be seeing ideas from her panel as well. And so I'll make sure that what you suggest to us also gets to her, because it should inform some of their thinking. Thank you for that. Who's next?
We have no hands raised in the Adobe Connect room.
This is Vint. Oh, here we go. Olivier, I see your hand is up.
Thanks very much, Vint. It's Olivier Clapin of Norfolk, the transcript. I can't just leave a queue without no hands, without putting my hand up. Just wanted to thank the panel for all this work so far. I think it's very refreshing to see a fresh look at the whole multi-stakeholder system and how that works within ICANN. And I'm very pleased to see this development of those five R's, which certainly seem to resonate very well in what's needed for everyone to for everyone's inputs to be taken into account. And I would really like to see how that can be implemented. The only question I had is actually just a small one. It's with regards to the inputs that you're waiting for at the moment, the commenting period. How long is that open for? And I'm asking this because I think the at-large community might wish to put together a both respond individually but also as a group to those questions, and we might launch a little internal dialogue before coming back to you. So just how long do we have to get back to you?
Thank you. That was a certainly an oversight on my part. We are hoping to have responses back by the end of this month, the 31st of January. We kind of have a deadline to have at least a preliminary draft of our report also by that time. So I would encourage you to try to get input in before that time. But I think we also have to give ourselves and you and others an opportunity to digest what you've seen so far. So until the 31st of January, essentially, or earlier is better.
Thank you.
So we're waiting for other comments. By the way, I also noticed that that the written comments are easily obtained. You've all been chatting quite effectively. And in some sense, those may turn out to be the more useful than waiting your turn to say something. Okay. Hang on just a second. Olivia, you're back up again.
Thanks very much, Vince. It's so much to cut on the blow again. Just one question that popped back into my head, and actually I had typed it in the chat earlier. You mentioned shared responsibility, I wondered whether that opens the door to also looking at shared accountability by any chance?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Let me tell you that of late I have been reading a lot about quantum physics, and one of the weirdest things about quantum physics is entanglement. And the more I read about it, of course, the more I scratch my head, but the more I recognize that in some sense this ensemble of organizations and even individuals has a kind of entangled responsibility for what happens to the Internet. Governance is not strictly a function of institution. It's what you and I choose to do. So I think your point about entangled or shared accountability is a good one. I think our task in the panel is to try to characterize some of these ideas in a way that can be you could do something with, as opposed to simply observe. So I don't quite know how that accountability would work. But it reminds me a little bit of checks and balances in the American constitutional system, where you have parties who cannot dominate the other two because of it's sort of like, what is that, children's game, paper, rock, and scissors. I think your idea of shared accountability might fall into that category of checks and balances. We're hearing some background chat from someone who's probably not asking a question, so would you please mute when you're not actually on the call? Thank you. Oh, I see. Okay. Yes, Taylor, I see. That's right. The preliminary report is expected at the end of the month, but we'll undoubtedly have to go through a few iterations after that. Olivier appears to be the spokesperson for the otherwise silent crowd. Olivier.
Thank you very much, Vince. I'm starting to think that it's Christmas. It's Olivier speaking. I just wonder, looking at the questions of interest which have been put on the page, I was wondering with regards to the relationships, the ICANN relationships with other organizations. I note that you mentioned other organizations per se. Were you going to focus specifically on specific organizations? Or I mentioned civil society, for example, earlier on in the chat. But, of course, there are hundreds of organizations out there, big and small, that are based in civil society. And as you know, the internet as it grew was not grown just by a handful of very large organizations, but in fact many small organizations did a little bit of work in their part of the world and built the internet that we have today. And I usually see the governance side of things as being pretty similar, a network built by people for people. So are you going to hone in onto some smaller organizations as well? To what extent are you going to develop that work as to what kind of organizations ICANN needs to develop relationships with?
So, good question. First of all, I want to remind you again that Beth Norvik's activity is looking at participation, especially from civil society, in the context of policymaking. So one major activity, as you know, at ICANN is the development of policy for the management of these unique parameters. And in that case, I think the interaction among organizations will be colored by how that works. In terms of other organizations that have responsibility in the Internet governance space, some of them having to do with technical matters, some of them having to do with law enforcement, some having to do with regulatory matters and the like. All of those will have to be taken into account as we ask ourselves, what relationships do we have now? How should they evolve, and what milestones are there for them? What relationships do we not yet have, or are which relationships are essentially undocumented? Should they be documented, and how? So your point about civil society is likely to be heavily influenced by the outcome of the participation panel. But I would like to mention one other speculation, which we've had. And that is that the way we have done policy at ICANN historically has tended to be very much organizationally structured. In other words, we set up these supporting organizations and we have assigned certain policy development responsibility to those supporting organizations. Some of us are looking at the IETF activity, which has a somewhat different structure. An issue arises, a birds of a feather session is undertaken to figure out if there's interest in dealing with that issue. If there's enough interest, then a working group is formed, and parties who are interested in the problem participate. And so it's much less a question of organizational representation than it is a question of bringing ideas to the table. It's entirely possible that that mode of operation will be feasible for at least some of the policy issues that ICANN faces. I see that Gregory has his name up also. Gregory? Gregory, are you there? Your hand is up. Oh, maybe he's talking to himself. Thank you, Aubrey. We're looking at Gregory typing for those of you who might not be on the chat list. This is certainly an interesting way of interacting, isn't it? So many different modalities all at the same time. Gregory asks, what kind of relationship do you see with governmental organizations? I think the answer is several, Gregory. The obvious one for ICANN, of course, is the Governmental Advisory Committee. But that's clearly not the only one, because we also have, as the picture that we showed earlier with the three bubbles showing cooperation, coordination, and participation, there are other government organizations that have influence on Internet governance in one way or another. And a good example of this would be the discussion about the WHOIS system, which has all kinds of implications for privacy, for business operations, for law enforcement, and the like. So we are almost certain to have a lot of other interactions with many others. I've been reminded that if you're looking at the Adobe Connect website, you should be seeing the five questions that we brought up. These are not the only ones we're looking for answers to. They just happen to be some which we're interested in hearing your reactions to. Okay, Gregory, I see that you said on the local level. You mean inside of countries, not on a global level. Well, this is an interesting question with regard to ICANN, because its responsibilities are essentially global in scope. To the extent that there are local interactions, they are often a consequence of the hierarchically structured relationships. For example, the RIRs will often treat with the with countries at the local level with LIRs. I'm less clear that there are specific interactions at the ICANN level that are country-specific interactions inside of countries, other than those that occur through the GAC. But perhaps you have some ideas that we should pursue that I'm not thinking about. I see that Evan has raised his hand. Evan, Gregory was typing an answer, so let's see if we can get that from him, and then we'll go on to you, Evan. This is Evan Leibovich.
Yes.
Leibovich.
Thanks.
Gregory says the best way to involve ICANN structures in the Internet. Okay. We'll have to take that up another time. Evan, please, you have the floor.
Hi. Thanks a lot. Vin, I wanted to go back to something you were saying just a couple of minutes ago when you were talking about, you know, interested parties will show up at the table. One of the challenges that I found through my time in at-large is trying to get to the table people who would not otherwise know about what's going on, are affected by what's going on, but don't necessarily have money in the game, they don't have reputation in the game, and really, if they didn't know about it, they wouldn't even, you know, the challenge sometimes is even getting the word out. In at large, I mean, which I happen to think is probably one of ICANN's best inventions in terms of bottom-up and multi-stakeholder, but we have a massive challenge in trying to do our task, which is trying to give the perspective of Internet end users that don't have a financial stake, that don't have a reputational stake, that don't have, that don't have governments paying for them to be there or whatever. What do you see ongoing in terms of trying to deal with the situation where you're saying, yes, we want to have interested people at the table, but what do you deal when you have a massive community of end users that are impacted by what is going on, but they don't even know what they don't know in terms of they don't, you know, trying to educate the public, trying to get feedback from the public, trying to find out what's in the public interest. People who have money in the game, people who have other things in the game, have a reason to be here, and so they are self-motivated. How do you deal with the challenge of trying to properly get the point of view of Internet end users that are impacted by everything that's going on here without while they don't actually have enough of a financial stake or, you know, the time availability or whatever to bring them to the table?
So it's a good question. Let me try to respond in two different ways. One of them is that the only way that we've ever been able to deal with this kind of scaling, I mean, we were talking about 3 to 5 billion users, it's not possible to have an obvious and straightforward conference call with 5 billion people on the call. I think there are a couple of answers. The at-large answer has been to build these hierarchical structures and then hope that you can get feedback in both directions. You know, you get information to the edges about what's going on and why it's important, and then information coming back up the other way. There's a good example of in the IETF. You may not know this, but there are people who have never physically been at an IETF meeting, and yet they are very important contributors to it. And so part of the process in the IETF for standardizing involves a last call, which is online. Of course, there's lots of interaction that's online as well leading up to any particular proposal, but it is always intended that final outcomes not be dictated by who could afford to fly to a place and be physically in that location. So that's one kind of answer. I think, though, that it's a really hard question to deal with the scaling. And here I think that Beth Novick's group may actually help us a little because she's looking at that kind of problem as well. But I'm hoping that the online world will help us. Now, the thing that does not respond to adequately are the people who are not online yet. And yet they are influenced and affected by plans, futures, incentives, motivations, investment, and everything else. There, I think we have a big challenge ahead of us, and I think we must try to find a way to draw attention to people who have not been part of the discussion and need to be.
Vin, just a quick follow-up. ICANN has a way to go in dealing with that. I've already been at meetings where everyone standing up in the queue in the public forum essentially gets almost the same treatment as statements that have had to take months to consult and get online feedback and conference calls, and yet someone stands up at the queue in the public forum, they get everyone's attention. there's a real, I mean, that as a start needs to be tackled in order to balance things out. When you have a situation where showing up at the meetings gets you heard better than the people that have to participate through virtual means, that puts the public interest at a real disadvantage.
So there's an interesting technique which is used in the legal world, and be careful, I'm an engineer pretending to be a lawyer for a moment, and this is called standing. And in certain legal situations, you're unable to engage unless you can demonstrate standing. And it may very well be that what you've described might be a metric, not necessarily absolute numbers, but more a question of how the input is produced. Is it one person's opinion, or is it in fact an attempt at producing a consensus view on some point? I think that it's a really intriguing idea to try to establish this notion of standing. I'm not even sure it's the right one, but I really thank you for bringing this up, because it's clearly a challenge that we have to address. I have a I'm sorry to interrupt. I have a question from, or is it a statement? It's a statement from Desiree. You know what? It's Vint again. Yeah, I'm realizing that if I just shut up, this conversation will continue very, very well online. So now I do have a question for the people who are typing at each other. Does it look to you as if we ought to maintain some ongoing discussion like this for a while? I know the chat goes away at the end of the call. I wonder if we should have a long-standing chat room of some sort. I don't even know if that's possible. Maybe that's called a blog with comments.
Or a Skype chat.
Yeah. Well, I'm just noticing it's a lot easier for people to use this typed input than it is to wait for your turn in the queue. I see the ubiquitous Mr. Crépin Leblanc is back with his hand up. Or is it your finger that's up, Olivier?
Thank you very much, Vince. It's Olivier speaking. I can't type. I'm terrible at typing, so I can talk, though. Just to ask one more question. When you mentioned the relationship that ICANN has with stakeholders, governments, and the U.S. government, etc., do you mean ICANN as in ICANN, the organization led by staff, or ICANN including all of its stakeholder groups and various components? Because when one looks at the wider ICANN, if you want, the supporting organizations and the advisory committees, then, of course, there's a lot more networking of ICANN to the outside world than there is just through the official channel that Fadi Shahadeh might be opening or that the global stakeholder engagements might be opening. And I wonder whether there has been any actual mapping of such engagements. To me, it doesn't look as though this has been the case so far.
That's a really interesting question. I hadn't even thought about the fact that there could be other relationships. Yes, Alejandro. Do you want to respond to this point?
After you, if you want.
Well, I think that it's actually a very interesting point to be made here that ICANN policymaking process may very well need to have ways of engaging with other institutions while the process is underway, as opposed to being totally confined to ICANN. So I actually think this is worth examining. Please go ahead, Alejandro.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Olivia. During the panel discussions, we have always had this question. It's a recurring question, whether you're talking about ICANN in the broadest sense or ICANN staff. What we did and will use for the final report is very similar to what we did on the stability, security, and resilience of the DNS review. Mikey O'Connor, who's in this call, knows that worked well. is to look at ICANN like in three circles. A first core circle where there's actually a command line and working staff receiving instructions from the CEO. A second layer where you have the supporting organizations and their members, where you have everybody that has some form of ruled participation and commitments, which maybe are two-way. So there I cannot command, but it's part of the policy development and the cooperation within the community. And the third very broad field, which is everything else that is out there, where I can mostly treat, for example, bad events only as through contingency planning or very slow working outreach that could diminish some of the threats. This goes, for example, to Evan's question of how to involve people who are not participating there. We think that the respect principle would help make places like the at-large more attractive, also working not only from the point of view that people are moved by their interests, but also people that are defending principles, which may even contrary to their interests, but higher, which is typical, for example, of a democracy, and it links with a stewardship function. So these are very clear axes. They have fuzzy borders between the categories, but they are well-defined. They have been used successfully also by the DSSA, which Mikey led, and that will go into the final approach.
Thank you, Alex. You know, it occurs to me that we have other deficits in terms of participation. For example, I think that the operating community, the people who actually run pieces of the Internet, are less engaged than I think they could be. And we also have the problem that in the developing world where Internet is still emerging and penetrating, that we don't get as much insight as I think we need in order to understand their situations and what problems they have to solve in order to become part of this community. So I think looking for ways of engaging, not only in the at-large sense, but also in the technical and other academic communities, for example, it might turn out to be important for ICANN as well. This is a comment from Mikey. Do you want to jump in a little further there? You said operating people can't understand why they should invest time to participate in ICANN. I would suggest that one answer to that may very well be that as the Internet governance process begins to mature, that ICANN and others may become important elements in policy development that would have an impact on operators, and that probably should stimulate their participation. Do you have a different view of that? Mikey's hand is up. Go ahead.
Hi, Vint. This is Mikey. No, I don't disagree with that at all. The problem that I run into all the time with operating folks, which is the people I hang out with a lot, is that the investment to really get up to speed in ICANN and really be an effective participant is vastly larger than the kinds of issues that they see us resolving. And so I think one of the things that, and it does indeed bear a fair amount on Beth's panel, but also on this one, is that I think we need to get better in the outreach in describing what's in it for them. Why should they care? What's the payoff for participating in ICANN? And to Evan's point, how can we reduce the cost of that participation to a point where the costs and the benefits are about equal? That's all I was trying to get at.
And those are all perfectly good points. Let me see. I have Abu Mfopa. I hope I said that right. Your hand is up, and you have the floor. Abdu, are you there? Are you muted? We're not hearing you. Well, if we're not hearing you, perhaps the other alternative is to type something, Abdu. Oh, his hand is back down again, so let's assume that he's going to type something. This is Vint again. I'm sitting here. We should have an anthropologist participating in this, because I'm seeing a shift away from spoken dialogue towards typing, because you apparently don't have to wait in order to type something. This is quite interesting.
Vint, Alejandro Pisanti, hear me, Vint?
Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, the point which I've also been making on the Adobe chat, the conversation is now going too much, it's going into ICANN in internal details, which I think are important, but we must remember that the panel was convened to study the role of ICANN in the ECHO, in the Internet Governance ecosystem, and the way to evolve. So together with things that we know or will hear as new, that have to be fixed in ICANN, we will find it very relevant to read and hear of things people think are important for the global ecosystem and the ICANN's position in it. To kickstart that one of the points from the technical rationality principle is sticking to mission, avoiding mission creep, avoiding an expansion into activities that are not ICANN proper, and how to balance that with the ways that ICANN can, for example, transmit its experience on things like multi-stakeholder review and redress procedures, many things that are procedural and substantive in ICANN, and how to balance that, as I said, with not exceeding the mission. Stuff like that would be very important for the panel.
Thank you, Alex. And for those of you who are multitasking and are also looking at the chat room, I'm reaching the conclusion that on Wednesday what we should do is make our oral presentations, allow for oral questions, but in fact encourage the conversation to take place in typed form. Abdu Mfopa, your hand is up. Are you able to speak now? We are not hearing you. So that didn't work for some reason. Abdu, I don't know if you can hear me, but maybe you could type something instead. So, Olivier, I see your hand is up.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cerf. Another question, then. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I'm looking at the questions of interest that you have on the page here, and I wonder whether there has been any question asked within the working group as to whether it is in ICANN's remit to expand its relationships with the rest, with other organizations and so on, and or whether it actually is exceeding its remit, which in the view of some people is just to coordinate the Internet's identifiers. I'm asking this question perhaps not because I believe that myself, but because I do get asked this question quite often, and quite a few people out there seem to think that ICANN is doing a lot more than what it should be doing, doing it using a lot more money than what it should be spending for doing it.
So let me say that the panel discussions, in my view, have tended towards avoiding mission creep and avoiding expanding of the remit of ICANN. And I think that some people wish that ICANN's responsibilities could be very confined to the most technical aspect of what we do. Unfortunately, that's turning out to be impossible because there are side effects of choices that are made in several dimensions, whether it's which top-level domains are executed or what the registrar agreements look like, or what the IP address allocations, what form they take, and what rules apply, all have potential economic and sometimes political ramifications. And so it's inescapable that ICANN will need to interact with parties that are beyond the purely technical aspects of its job. I think the big issue here, and the way I would respond to this, is that, speaking just for myself, is that ICANN would be well advised to stay confined to its primary responsibility, but to build relationships with parties who are affected by its decisions, even if those decisions are only about the unique parameters of the Internet environment.
Thank you.
Just as Vint again, I just want to remind you that we will close the conference call at 3:30, which is about 9 minutes from now, whatever time you happen to be in. So if you have something to say, you probably should either plan to say it quickly, or please send it either through the SurveyMonkey or to the email address. I also appreciate some of the comments that are being made about how to organize this sort of online interaction. It's a tricky topic. And now we can hear. I don't know. Are you able to hear me when I'm typing? It sounds like a shotgun going off. So perhaps, I don't know if we're able to reorganize ourselves for Wednesday necessarily, but I think on Wednesday perhaps we will lean more heavily on the chat room for interaction after we've made our presentation, since that seems to be the comfortable way for people to express themselves. Yeah, Mikey, I see your point about multiple chat rooms. I don't know whether the Adobe Connect system would permit that, but we'd have to look into that. Gregory, I see that your hand is up. Please go ahead. We're not hearing you, Gregory. I don't know about the rest of you, but I find this amazingly amusing. It's almost as if I'm sitting here with the headset on, snooping on everybody, but watching you type.
It's the power of the back channel, then.
Right.
Vince, maybe we should ask again if there are questions which people would fear missing, not making, and otherwise be prepared for comments and coming to the close of the call. And I'm very sorry that we are not being able to hear Gregory.
Yes, I don't understand why that didn't work.
And we seem to miss him also from the chat now.
Okay, I think the chat has now gone completely off topic. So,
I don't see Gregory among the attendees anymore.
Gregory was saying he typed his suggestion. Here it is. I have Gregory's suggestion. He sent it to me. He said, my suggestion is to start a process when ISOC and ICAM local structures will become participants of the local governmental organizations. So, a very interesting idea. Gregory, I'm going to insert this into the general chat so that we can hang on to that if that's okay with you. There we are.
Oh, I've lost the meeting. I've lost the other event. It's Alejandro Pitani.
Have you lost it?
Yeah, the other went off and, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that we need to call this to a close in spite of the fact this is all a lot of fun. We've essentially gone way off topic. So let me just mention that again that we're very eager for you to submit other comments at the close of this conference. Alice, would you please put the slide back up again that shows the email address and the SurveyMonkey? Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's where we would love to have further input from you. We will have the same call again on Wednesday, although possibly different participants. If you haven't had enough already, feel free to join us again on Wednesday. We look forward to that, and of course we look forward very much to your reaction to our preliminary report that we will provide to you at the end of the month. So, Alice, I think that we can now call this conference call to a close. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. You went and to all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye for now.